Happy Christmas from Radio Arianna. Have a pro-white Christmas and a diversity-free new year. And remember, a kebab is not just for Christmas.
Tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at RadioArian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 20th of December, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and we're broadcasting live today at RadioArian.com because we've got Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson with us. Matt, how are you doing today? Are you feeling Christmassy?
Well, our Christmas isn't until the 7th, not quite yet, but... Now, I have four research assistants. They're feline, and they may want to join our conversation. So if you hear anything weird, that's what it is. So just to forewarn you.
It's the cats getting in the Christmas mood.
Well, you know, they're jealous I'm giving you attention and not them. So, you know, they're very, very affected cats.
And the listeners. As I said before, it's just good that you – I think it's good that you've got pets. It's good that you've got cats. You know, white people, we do love animals. We're a race of animal lovers. We look after animals. We look after the natural world. We don't look at creatures like cats and dogs as if they're edible, something to eat like Chinese or Negroes do.
I don't have cats. Cats have me. Yeah, they tried to take a mortgage out on this house the other day. I had to stop them. You know, it's they're just really they become self-aware way beyond my expectations. So, you know, I don't have cats. They have me as a pet.
It is. I was just going to say it is rather like you are the actual pet when you've got cats. Well, we're not going to talk about animals today. What we're going to talk about today is Donald Trump, because he's in the news again, like he always is. In fact, a day doesn't go by when Donald Trump isn't just about all the news is talking about, the mainstream media. And we're going to talk about him today because people seem to have got very disheartened with him recently. Most ethno-nationalists haven't been happy with him. He's banned bump stocks. He's allowed the prison reform bill to go through. He's backed down over a government shutdown to get the money to build his wall. So people were really not very, very happy with him. And then yesterday, he suddenly makes the announcement that he's going to withdraw all the troops from Syria, which really was not expected, and it really seems to have set the cat among the pigeons, as it were. All the hawks and all the Israel firsters are absolutely furious at this, but he seems to be holding to it. And this is a campaign promise that he made years ago that when he was first on his campaign that he was going to root the troops out of Syria, saying that we were only in there to get rid of ISIS. I mean, it would be nice if he talked about Russia and said, well, actually, Russia got rid of ISIS. But he's claiming that America got rid of ISIS, so now the troops can be moved out. It's going to take, 60 to 100 days to move them from Syria. Does this counterbalance the other recent failures, like I say, the bump stock ban and the prison reform bill? And then also, I just hear now, David Duke has just tweeted out that Donald Trump has refused to sign off the spending bill. He said that he's not going to sign the spending bill unless he gets the money for his wall. And I'm guessing that's the spending for the whole of government that he's going to actually hold back. So is that connected to the government shutdown, this spending bill, or is that something else, Matt? And what do you think of this? Does this balance out all the backing down that he's been doing recently? Because this is just on his own, isn't it? This really is Donald Trump's policy to move out of Syria. He's not doing what the rest of the Republican Party want him to do. What do you think of it?
Are you sure you don't want to talk about cats? Because I would much rather than deal with this Orwellian universe. I mean, at least cats are honest. You know, I don't know how Donald Trump is functional. The vicious attack that he comes under every single day of his life, I would have folded years ago. I would have folded almost immediately. I don't know how the man's still alive. And this is going to seal his fate, if nothing. Because, yes, you're right. He is sticking to it. The claim that we've defeated ISIS is Orwellian beyond anything Orwell could have ever imagined. I'm not sure. You know, he's never been a political guy. You know, I've known of Donald Trump since I was a kid, and he really had never had many political opinions. He's not knowledgeable about this area. I mean, neither is Hillary or anyone else running for president. But as we all know, ISIS was an American creation, American trained. There's even American fighters in it. It's essentially a mercenary force for the U.S. The U.S. has no right to be in Syria. It's an invading force. The Russians were invited. So, you know, withdrawing the troops, there's simply no money. There's no, you know, the Pentagon is apparently unauditable because the corruption is so deep. They don't keep records. We have no idea how much money is being spent. You know, the Air Force, you know, half their planes can't fly. Same thing for the Navy. It's the U.S. military is in utter disarray, but, as far as counterbalancing is concerned, you know, I don't know where this is really going to end. I'm not familiar with the prison reform bill. I haven't gotten to that yet. And the wall issue, of course. The more important thing is how this man could not have had a heart attack by now, because this is something, and our people don't have the institutional presence to defend him. He's an independent. He's anything but a Republican. You know, the label is just a label. You know, so I really don't know what to say here, except that, you know, you can't believe anything coming out of the press. So this is just an utter disaster. And the Syrian gambit, as with everything the U.S. has done abroad, is a total failure.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we, you know, that we remember all the stress that he is under and the attacks from the mainstream media, from the press. They constantly are attacking him. So when he appears to compromise or does silly things, you have to bear in mind, it's like he's got the whole world against him. The whole world of the mainstream media is against him, and that counts for a lot. Well, maybe, you know, maybe I can enlighten you a bit on the prison reform bill. From what I can make of it, it's saying that people that are in prison on lesser charges, things such as drug dealing or drug possession, they're going to be let out of prison, which on the face of it, you think, well, okay, well, they're not violent crimes. But the problem is a lot of extremely violent criminals pleaded to lesser charges so that they didn't have to go through a long court case, and the police didn't have, or the prosecutors didn't have problems making the charges stick for things such as murder or gang rape or burglary, housebreaking or home invasion, all that sort of thing. So you've got a lot of people that are actually in prison who are extremely violent, extremely dangerous, but they're only in prison because they pleaded guilty to lesser charges. And that's the problem with his prison reform bill. And again, this is something that he really doesn't know very much about. I would guess that he doesn't know a lot about prisons at all. All he knows about them is what his advisors have told him, the same as he really doesn't know a lot about foreign policy. So he's just going right on his gut. So on his gut instinct, we should get out of Syria. And on his gut instinct, we should let people out of prison that are just there on drugs charges, I guess.
Well, yeah, my personal opinion is that, yeah, the prison system is a miserable failure. And anybody, the prison as a punishment doesn't make any sense for a nonviolent criminal. However, you're absolutely right. In the U.S., 95%, at least 95% of all criminal cases end up in a that lead to a conviction end up as plea deals. So we have no idea what these people are really guilty of. Very few judges actually believe these guys. The plea deal just has to be somewhat believable. So you're absolutely right. And I mean, because someone is found innocent doesn't mean they're not guilty. It just means that there was a problem with the evidence. And you know, so many of these people by the so-called Innocence Project that have been found not guilty Doesn't mean they're not guilty. It just means that there was a procedural issue that the court noticed. So on the one hand, he's correct. But as far as the American justice system is concerned, he's absolutely incorrect. Donald Trump did the right thing in attempting to bring nationalism into the national prominence, but he's all alone. The man could have retired to an island somewhere and lived a wonderful life, but instead he has his life on the line every single day. Our people, you know, get scared of the slightest inconvenience, you know, afraid they're going to lose their job or whatever, but demand of him a far higher standard. And so people need to calm down about that. But there's simply no money. The private prison system is really the only thing that's worked, at least because, you know, prisoners can actually be useful for once. But the prison system is bursting at the seams because without any other ideas, people, you know, in financial crimes and stuff like this, you know, are all sent to jail as if sitting in a room for 6 months is going to teach them a lesson. It's absolutely absurd. So he's correct in theory. Unfortunately, he's wrong in practice.
Well, let's have a look at this this bump stock ban as well. From what I can make of it, it's an adjustment of previous law, and because he's actually made this adjustment, it means that that has set a precedent that in the future there can be more adjustments made to the law. Because we know they always overreach with whatever it is that they're doing. There's going to be an overreach to it. So, what are your thoughts on this bump stock ban? Do you know much about that, Matt?
I'm not really a gun guy. But I'm pretty certain that guys in that universe can get one of these bump stocks or, you know, the automatic adjuster at a moment's notice. So I'm pretty sure the ban doesn't mean too much. There's guys who can make this at home. It's not really a complicated device. So it's symbolic. Trump seems to have this notion, or at least his advisors do, that if he gives a little bit to the left or to the neocons, he's going to be, they're going to let him alone. Doesn't seem to learn his lesson. The more he gives, the weaker he appears. But the less he gives, the more he's attacked. So he can't win. And this is a problem that he finds himself in.
Yeah, a lot of what he does is symbolic, isn't it? I felt maybe people were overreacting a bit when he did go and bomb Syria because nobody was actually hurt. I mean, he just hit an airfield and that was it. And he had all of the Republicans and all the Democrats screeching at him that Assad had just gassed people and he had to do something about it. So it seemed to me as if he did actually the very least that was necessary just to keep them quiet. Just, as you say, symbolic. But this actual withdrawal from Syria, I mean, this is pretty big if it goes through. Let's have a look at some of the news reports that we've got for this. This one comes from RT. President Donald Trump's decision to declare ISIS defeated and order a full US withdrawal from Syria has been met with anger and disbelief by the Washington establishment that hoped for regime change in Damascus. Trump declared victory over Islamic State on Wednesday morning as media reported that some 2,000 or so US troops will leave Syria within 60 to 100 days. Though Trump had openly spoken about wanting to leave Syria back in March, senior officials in his administration have said that U.S. forces would stay there indefinitely. So you've got Trump saying something different to what his administration is saying yet again. I mean, he's even working against his own administration, not just against the Democrats here. CNN's Jake Tapper reacted to the announcement by quoting an anonymous Pentagon official who saw it as a victory for Russian President Vladimir Putin. I mean, well, that says that this is just a proxy war against Russia, really. Well, I think there's more to it than that. Hillary Clinton's former foreign policy advisor, Jesse Liebrich, bemoaned that the withdrawal would embolden Syrian President Bashar Assad and strengthen Russia and Iran while leaving the US-allied Kurdish militias once again hung out to dry. But he is the Syrian president. He can do whatever he likes. He's supposed to be in charge of Syria. He's the guy that's voted in Bashar al-Assad, not Donald Trump, not the Republican Party or the Democrats. Senator Marco Rubio, known as a foreign policy hawk, also disagreed with a withdrawal, calling it a colossal mistake and a grave error that's going to have significant repercussions in the years and months to come. Rubio echoed Liebrich's assessment that the US withdrawal would turn Syria over to Russia and Iran, adding that it might lead to another conflict between Israel and the Iranian-backed Hezbollah and lend strength to the hypothetical argument by Russia and China that Washington is an unreliable ally. Critics of the US involvement in Syria, however, cheered on the news of the withdrawal, pointing out that the real mistake was Washington getting involved in the attempt to overthrow the government in Damascus in the first place. Well, how true is that last bit there, Matt? Is there anybody that's actually cheering him on for this, or is it just the alternative media that are saying that this is a good thing?
I think that's pretty much all it is. Now, internationally, you know, the U.S. is extremely unpopular. Trump has absolutely no support amongst the elite in this regard. You'll notice that when you ever hear these guys, whether it be someone like Rubio or Lyric or any of these so-called experts, you realize that they know very little. They're never called upon really to make any kind of detailed recommendations over a long period of time. They're there for sound bites. So they're not going to work real hard in terms of understanding anything. And these guys are shockingly ignorant about what's happening there. If you simply were to ask them, well, what would be the problem, turning Syria over to Russia and Iran, I don't think they can answer you. Or how that even would be the case, given that Syria has its own government, albeit allied with both Iran and Syria, and Russia. The Iranian economy is one of the healthiest economies on the planet right now, as I spoke of last month, I think, on the broadcast. The key player here is Turkey. Turkey has pretty much said, we're not supporting this. And without Turkish support, there can be no American presence in the Middle East. And because Turkey's pretty much left NATO and has all of these defense contracts now with the Chinese, Turkey, and you add fuel to the fire by supporting the Kurds, who, of course, the Turks hate. This is the real reason behind this. This is the real reason why the U.S. really can't function there anymore if Turkey is not going to permit American forces to be refueled and everything else at the Incirlik and other bases in Turkey. Turkey is the key element here, not to mention the fact that the American military is simply unreliable, broke, and in a morale crisis. So those two things are the key elements.
Yeah, Turkey wanted to go into northern Syria recently, didn't it, as well? And they said, look, we're going to go in there and we're going to wipe out these Kurds. And you'd better remove any Americans that you've got there. So that plays into it as well. Bibi Netanyahu is furious about this. I did find another report on CNN, but the page kept crashing. CNN's website must have lots of malware on it. But I did manage to read it on a mobile phone. And what he was saying is that Bibi Netanyahu has now got egg all over his face because he's been telling Israel that he's best buddies with Donald Trump and their defense policy rests on America in Syria. And he's quite open about it, that is their defense policy, is American troops in Syria, which really admits that America is just a puppet of Israel. And what I'm sort of wondering is, doesn't Donald Trump know that? I mean, we know how much he wants to appeal to Israel, but, you know, he moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He's got Jewish grandchildren. And yet here he's going against Israel's geopolitical plans by moving out of Syria. Could it be possible that he just doesn't know that, that's what it was all about in the first place, that it was about protecting Israel because they don't like Bashar al-Assad, because he won't acknowledge Israel's state there, the Jewish state. He says that it's Palestinian land and that the Jews shouldn't be there. Does he not know that, do you think?
I wouldn't go that far, because he's not going to make a decision without, you know, essentially a committee, you know, supplying him with information. Just like the American presence in the Middle East is based on Turkish support, Israel's foreign policy is also based on Turkish support. So long as Turkey could remain at least neutral relative to Israel, they were okay. But when you have the second largest army in NATO, one of the largest and well-financed armies in the world, turning against the West, Netanyahu is in a lot of trouble. Operation Samson, you know, doesn't seem that far off, to be honest with you. And I'll repeat myself, that this is the central issue. Israel without a neutral Turkey. I mean, you know, the Turks have never been all that fond of Israel. They've never fought them either, despite being an Islamic country. But now that they're no longer neutral in this matter, And of course, Putin has been financing every anti-Zionist movement in the Middle East and North Africa and Central Asia, as had the Soviet Union before him. Israel is increasingly isolated. The U.S. with a paper tiger military, with severe training and materiel problems, is in no position anymore to help. The strike that you mentioned on Syria is so ridiculous. Missiles falling into the ocean and everything else. I don't envy them. At the same time, Trump is aware that no matter how many concessions he gives to the Israelis, the Jewish press won't let up on him. And there's got to be an element with him, because, you know, he's anything but stupid. He knows strategy, that no matter what he does to please them, it doesn't work. And his patience may be exhausted. That's just a hypothesis, but that might be growing in his mind right now.
Yeah, sooner or later, he's got to realize that. It doesn't matter what he does. They're never going to let up. My opinion of Turkey is that, you know, they may talk with a lot of bluster about how they're against Israel, but when it actually comes down to actions, they work with Israel, and they're right in tight with Israel. But to the general Turkish public, they will talk about Islamic solidarity. So you've got to look at actions rather than words there. Getting back to this article here, the US has begun the withdrawal of its troops from Syria, the White House said in a statement. However, it added that the move does not mean an end of the military campaign in the war-torn country, but marks a new phase in the fight against Islamic State. These victories over ISIS in Syria do not signal the end of the global coalition or its campaign. We have started returning United States troops home as we transition to the next phase of this campaign, White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders said. She also partly echoed an earlier tweet by President Trump, who also said that ISIS terrorists were defeated, while calling the group the only reason for the US troops being there in Syria. Now, of course, that is really going to wind Israel up, them saying that the only reason America is there is to defeat ISIS, because Israel wants America there to defeat Assad. And what do you think they mean by this, that this is just the transition to the next phase of the campaign? What do you think that means, Matt?
Well, it's black comedy, in essence. As far as Turkey, what you said before, you're absolutely right. But that only works to the extent that Turkey's in NATO. Remember that the huge debt they have to Western banks, if they retool their economy to face East, they now have no incentive to act in the way that they've acted up until this point. But as far as this is concerned, anyone, you know, who even scans the news has to come to the conclusion that ISIS is an American creation. It may be symbolic for something else. These aren't meant for, this is exoteric. This is just meant for the general public and has no real substance. But the comment, the only reason, you know, this is good diplomacy, because Israel has noticed this. How come we're not your first priority? And it really comes down to the fact that Russia has outmaneuvered the West, in every respect. And something else we need to keep in mind, that if there's ever a shooting war where the U.S. is deeply involved, especially with Russia or anyone else, NATO will fall apart. France has already said they're not going to participate. Germany is so heavily involved in the Russian economy, they will not participate. Only the British, really, can really be relied upon. Maybe the Italian. So if there's any kind of real heavy-handed diplomacy, it's going to lead to further crises. And I believe maybe that's what Donald Trump's being told, or maybe that's what he's deduced. He knows that a crisis exists, but he certainly can't tell the American population that, because they don't have the maturity or the knowledge to really make use of that information. But it would be an utter disaster for there to be any kind of real heavy-handed diplomacy right now.
Do you want to just run through quickly just some of the reasons why ISIS is an American creation? You know, we've had a lot of new listeners recently, and they may be a little bit surprised to hear that, Matt.
Absolutely. I said the first day I heard about them, I said this. There's a whole bunch of reasons. The United States, as well as Israel, monitors every dime that goes in and out of every bank account in the Middle East. You can't form an organization of any size, let alone that size, without the West knowing about it and assisting it. they train out in the open. They say things and do things almost exclusively for an American audience. They never run out of ammunition. They have their own economy. They have super tankers. Last year they were trading with the Turks oil. Where did all, how can you create essentially a international economy without the West supporting it or knowing about it? It's absolutely impossible. To fight the what was a very advanced Syrian army to a standstill requires tremendous coordination and standardization of equipment and everything else that really only a government can provide, actually a series of governments can provide. Since ISIS only will never attack a pro-Western target, whether it be Saudi Arabia or Israel or anything else, you must conclude that it's an American creation. Wherever the U.S. Has a problem with a country or a movement, ISIS shows up. There's no absolutely no question about it. And so it's simple deductive logic. No terrorist group has ever acted like ISIS. It's a Hollywood production. I remember the first time I heard about them, I saw that famous picture of them in a Charlie's Angels pose, wearing black in the desert, you know, all with their faces uncovered. You know, it's like they're casting a movie. And it sickens me to the extent that people actually take them seriously. I mean, there is a war going on. I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, there isn't a force there. But ISIS is essentially an organization for Americans. Since the U.S. military simply can't function very well over there, they need proxies. Consider them like the Contras. And the evidence is overwhelming that that's the case. For new listeners, it's a simple matter of deductive logic.
I think we can also add to that the pictures of them in the Israeli hospitals where the Israelis were, you know, so long as ISIS could make it to the Golan Heights, the Israelis would rescue them and nurse them back to health in the hospitals and then send them back into Syria. And we've got the pictures of John McCain with the leaders of these terrorist groups. And Al-Qaeda were working with ISIS and, I forget the name of the other one, the Syria group. The Syria group were actually funded by America and officially funded by them, that are now designated as a terrorist organization. And they started off in Libya. They took down Gaddafi. They got given all these weapons and then they headed off over to Syria and then they became Islamic State. You're saying that. How can they have a whole state and fight a national army unless they've got national backing? It's
They never run out of ammunition. Their strategy is first class. You know, this is a high quality operation. You know, no ragtag group could ever remotely do anything like this. And I want to add to this as well that the Russians have captured tons of ammunition from the U.S. heading towards ISIS centers. So the real hard evidence comes from Russian military intelligence, who has. And, you know, Ivanov and these guys have been talking about this for a long time. They've captured mountains of stuff, direct American support for ISIS organizations that apparently only RT has bothered to report.
Lots of Israeli weaponry as well. Well, the pullout is expected to take between 60 and 100 days, according to reports citing U.S. officials. Additional reports suggested that all U.S. State Department personnel would also be evacuated from Syria within 24 hours. Even after the withdrawal, however, the U.S. would still maintain a sizable presence in the neighboring Iraq, with some 5,200 troops stationed just across the Syrian border. The aircraft of the US-led coalition, a primary tool of Washington and its allies in the Syrian conflict, will also still be able to continue their air raids flying out of Qatar and other bases in the Middle East. I mean, that ties in with this idea about Turkey, doesn't it? Because they're just going to use Qatar and Iraq as staging points to actually lift the planes off from. And there's no mention of Turkey there at all, is there?
It's very important to notice that, too. It's extremely important because but still, it's going to have a tremendous chilling effect on American foreign policy to have a huge power like Turkey hostile to U.S. intentions. So even though they'll move the base of the takeoff, refueling everything else to places like Qatar and elsewhere, it's still going to have a huge effect. The U.S. is not going to feel nearly as free as it did before. So that's an extremely important point.
Now, Washington's decision comes just days after the Turkish president Recep Tayyip Erdogan urged the U.S. to make its Kurdish allies withdraw from the town of Manbi, located west of the Euphrates in northeastern Syria, Ankara considers Syrian Kurdish militias an extension of the Turkey-based anti-government guerrillas and brands the Syrian Kurdish YPG fighters as terrorists. Erdogan threatened to order his troops to storm Manbij if the US fails to fulfill his demand. Last week, he announced plans to launch a military operation in the Kurdish areas within days. In early December, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford, complained that the US lacks trained local fighters on the ground to provide stability to Syria. Trump made an announcement that the US would be leaving Syria very soon, back in March, and never officially walked it back. So we've got some mention there of these Kurdish militias, and this was in response to a direct threat from Erdogan, it looks like.
Turkey is not a country that the U.S. can handle. They're highly militarized and highly motivated. The so-called trained troop, when I think of these people that they're training in Syria, I laugh. I think of the Afghan National Army not being able to do jumping jacks. Any Arab force accepting American money is going to be hated by the average Arab. And therefore, you're dealing with people who are drug addicts, criminals, people who've been kicked out of their villages, the dregs of society. So they're going to be as effective as the Afghan National Army and National Police are. So that's what the U.S. is going to end up having on their hands there.
Well, I think one thing we are going to have to watch out for is another gas attack that will probably take place in Idlib. That's the last place that's actually in the hands of the terrorists, because we know that Washington will be absolutely desperate to try and keep the American troops there. So just keep your eyes out, and there may well be another false flag in Idlib over the next couple of days. But if that doesn't happen and the troops do get out of Syria, then that is very, very good news. And I hope that is what happens. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.